What happens when a single book fundamentally changes how millions understand their own existence? In 1976, a young Oxford zoologist published a work that would spark intellectual revolutions across biology, psychology, and philosophy. The Selfish Gene sold over a million copies, earned praise from Bill Gates as an all-time favorite, and influenced thinkers from Daniel Dennett to Steven Pinker. Its concepts seeped into everything, from scientific research to Simpsons episodes. The secret wasn't just brilliant science. It was the rare ability to make complex evolutionary theory feel like a detective story, where the mystery being solved was nothing less than the meaning of life itself. Why do male praying mantises let themselves be eaten during mating? Why do peacocks grow elaborate tails that hinder escape? The breakthrough? Natural selection operates primarily on genes, not organisms. This gene's eye view explains the seemingly suicidal kakapo parrot. Males inflate themselves and boom loudly from exposed locations for months while predators circle. Genes don't care about individual survival, only replication. A male kakapo spreading genes through multiple females achieves higher genetic success than one carefully raising fewer chicks, even if most offspring die. This framework extends beyond exotic birds. Scientists applied it to predict patterns in malaria parasites, drug-resistant bacteria, HIV virulence, and emerging viral variants. Recognizing that pathogens evolve to maximize genetic replication, not to kill hosts efficiently, helps predict their trajectories and design better treatments. The gene's eye view also reframed animal communication. Ethologists long insisted signals evolved for mutual benefit, but natural selection favors individuals who manipulate others' behavior, while receivers evolve resistance. Butterfly mimicry, firefly deception, and elaborate bowerbird displays suddenly make sense as evolutionary arms races. Sexual reproduction conceals conflicting genetic interests. Females evolved resource-rich eggs requiring major investment. Males evolved abundant sperm competing through quantity. This divergence drove males toward mate quantity and females toward quality selection. This foundation generates reproductive conflicts. Male fruit flies inject seminal proteins manipulating female behavior. Females evolve resistance. Peacocks display elaborate plumage as genetic signals. Females develop sophisticated evaluation. Even devoted titty monkeys reveal tensions. Their constant cuddling reflects mate guarding, protecting different genetic interests, not pure affection. Genomic imprinting reveals a remarkable twist. Genes literally know their parental origin. Paternally derived genes extract more maternal resources than maternally derived genes prefer, creating genetic tug of war. In mice, paternal genes promote fetal growth while maternal genes restrict it. When one side lets go, birth weights become dangerously abnormal, explaining numerous pregnancy pathologies. Yet not all conflicts represent true battles. Male-induced harm often reflects male-male competition with females as collateral damage. Female spiders consuming mates often represents cooperation. The male's body provides crucial nutrients for offspring. The selfish gene made three transformative contributions. First, it identified replicators through three properties enabling evolution: fidelity, fecundity, and longevity. Second, it linked replicator selection to technical selfishness. Genes act as if maximizing replication through natural selection's mechanical process. Third, it unified various adaptationist advances into one comprehensive theoretical structure. The final chapter introduced memes, fundamental units of cultural transmission. Though popular, memetics remains empirically underdeveloped, focused on theoretical debates rather than productive research. The core problem is definitional. Initially defined broadly as tunes, catchphrases, clothes, fashions, memes became too inclusive. Precise understanding requires four conditions: causation, similarity, information transfer, and duplication. Crucially, memes must exist specifically as a unit of information residing in the brain. The challenge involves how information appears to transfer between substrates, brain to paper and back, without constituting true replication. A song written on paper doesn't reproduce. Only when entering another brain can it replicate again. Despite theoretical challenges, the meme concept offers valuable insights. Religious beliefs can be analyzed as viruses of the mind that evolved mechanisms ensuring propagation, threatening eternal punishment for disbelief or promising rewards for conversion. Ironically, the concept of memes has itself become a successful meme, replicating across minds and transforming how we think about cultural change. The Gene's Eye View reveals why family dynamics create predictable conflicts. While mates share genetic interests through children, their overlap isn't perfect. In-laws remain universal friction points because partners have distinct kin contributing to only one person's inclusive fitness. Extramarital opportunities undermine shared purpose, particularly devastating for cuckolded men investing in others' children, explaining why adultery triggers the most intense marital conflicts across cultures. Robert Trivers's theory shows how parent-offspring and sibling conflicts emerge because siblings share only half their genes, making children demand more resources than parents would ideally provide. Ground squirrels cooperate more with full siblings than half-siblings through self-referential phenotype matching, comparing others' traits to their own. Humans may possess similar capabilities, possibly allowing toddlers to unconsciously assess newborn siblings' paternity through subtle cues. Paternity uncertainty shapes male investment strategies. While human males invest substantially in offspring, some apparent paternal care may actually be mating effort, securing future reproductive opportunities rather than investing in current children. Understanding our evolved psychology explains patterns from sibling rivalry to marital conflict to grandparent-grandchild bonds without suggesting we're slaves to genetic imperatives. Critics wrongly linked the selfish gene to Thatcherite ideology. The book actually views naked, raw Darwinism as something humans should transcend. Following Thomas Henry Huxley's tradition, it separates nature from ethics, presenting explicitly anti-Darwinian values despite biological Darwinism. Human society represents a delicate, gossamer structure of trust and cooperation that rises above nature's indifference. Unlike evolutionists who see morality emerging from evolved traits, the emphasis falls on humanity's special ability to rebel against selfish replicators. This aligns with existentialist thought. Evolution creates beings with no inherent purpose beyond gene propagation. Facing life's meaninglessness, we might adopt evolutionary existentialism, recognizing that in a purposeless world, meaning emerges from riding our biology to greater heights. People with selfish genes are generally nice because social selection shaped powerful moral capacities. Selection favored these tendencies not because genes are good, but because cooperation often serves genetic interests better than conflict. Religion functions as a replicating virus of faith. Religious persistence follows viral epidemiology. Beliefs infect vulnerable hosts, particularly children whose receptive brains must trust to acquire language and social knowledge. Unlike scientific truths, which remain constant regardless of birthplace, religious beliefs vary dramatically by accident of birth, revealing their nature as cultural replicators rather than discovered truths. We carry ancient replicators that survived billions of years through ruthless competition. These genes built our bodies, shaped our instincts, and influenced our deepest emotions. Yet understanding this liberates us. Knowing why we feel jealousy, why siblings fight, why we're drawn to certain partners gives us power to choose different paths. Evolution created beings capable of genuine love, art, science, and sacrifice, often because cooperation served genetic interests. But we've transcended these origins. We care for adopted children who share none of our genes. We donate to strangers across the globe. We are the first replicators to understand replication itself. We are survival machines programmed to preserve selfish genes, but we can rebel. We can choose kindness over genetic calculation, curiosity over reproductive success, justice over tribal advantage. Your genes may be selfish, but you can choose to be generous. And that choice, made freely, despite billions of years of evolutionary pressure, might be the most remarkable thing in the universe.